A very good evening. Welcome to the evening service. So glad to see you. I've said this morning that this will be my last Sunday here, and then I'll be going back soon after the Christmas service. Now I hope you can come for the Christmas service, right? And let's spend time on Christmas Day in worshiping Christ our King. And we rejoice in the love of God and His goodness in our lives. Right? And then after the service, I'll be heading home. And perchance you cannot come for some reason. I bid you farewell, and we hope in God's time we'll be able to meet again. Now this evening we are looking at the same chapter we have read this morning. That is 1 Samuel chapter 16. All right? And I'm going to speak to you on the topic God's sovereign choice on the king. So we see that God was sovereign in choosing David as the next king. Now I just want to outline my sermon simply into two parts. First of all, we want to see his sovereignty in the choice of the person, and obviously it's David. And then secondly, we want to see his sovereign in the choice of his plan. And I want to see that God, in choosing David, God has a perfect plan worked out in history. This morning, I give you five areas where David was a man after God's own heart. Now, David, though an imperfect man, but he responded to God's working in his life in God's way. And that is how he became a man after God's own heart. You remember I did tell you that David was not born to be a man after God's own heart. Alright. He came to know the Lord and he had a proper response to God and his word. In other words, he became a man after God's own heart in his life because he lived a life that is pleasing to God. God is about to reveal his choice of a new king. Samuel, however, was still mourning for Saul. We have read that in chapter 16, verse 1. Okay. Now, why was Samuel mourning for Saul? Okay. Probably this is how I look at it. That's Saul had been quite successful. Remember, I told you that Saul had a very good start. Alright? But then, as the kingdom was established and he experienced victory after victory, his heart turned away from God. Okay? But Samuel saw the good things in the sense that Saul had done. Okay? And now God says, I rejected him as king. And then for that matter, Samuel mourned for Saul. Now Saul had all the gift, all the necessary talent in a sense to be a king. I've also seen many people with great talents. Men, women, whom I thought God could use in the church. But at the end of the day, it's not the talent, not the gifts that a person has. It's whether a person would give his life to God. Would he allow God to use him? And then his response would be, would he be obedient to God? And when a person has both the gift and the obedience, I'm sure God can use him in a very, very special ways. But you say, I don't have the gift, but I want to serve God. Will God use me? Now I want to tell you this, that it's amazing to know, after serving in a ministry for so many years, that I've seen people who have no talent, seemingly, in the eyes of men. Okay, but they are willing to serve God. And God used them in very, very special ways. You know, you may not see them standing on the pulpit, but they are doing many things evidently used by God. So I hope we are willing to give ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, and God would use us. Okay. Now, going back to verse 1 again, God told Samuel specifically to go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to look for a king amongst his son, that is the son of Jesse. But Samuel had a concern. That is, if words reach Saul, his life would be in danger, verse 2 tells us. Now, it was a legitimate concern. Right. So there was that fear that Saul heard about the anointing of the new king. And in order to stop it, the best way to stop it is to kill Samuel. So he says, I'm afraid. God provided a way out of this dilemma. Verse 2 tells us that God instructed Samuel to take a calf or heifer with him. And then says that I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. Now this is legitimate, alright? Because Samuel's job was to provide the offering on behalf of the people. So God says take a calf, and then says I'm going to sacrifice on behalf of the family of Jesse. Okay. And when Samuel entered into the city, we are told that the elders of Bethlehem trembled at his coming. Now why did the elders tremble at the coming of Samuel? Okay. Well, most probably, right, that the elders had heard of Samuel's execution of Agag in chapter 15. Remember, Saul was instructed to kill all the Amalekites. Instead, Saul kept some sheep, and then he also spared the king, Agag. Right. So, after Samuel knew that Agag was spared, Samuel executed Agag. Right. Now, that incident probably created some fear in the people. Now remember that though Saul was king at that point in time, right, God has his appointed servant, Samuel. It tells us that at that point in time, Israel was still closely associated with the prophets and the office of a judge. Samuel was a highly respected spiritual leader. Okay. So when Samuel came into the city, the elders thought that Samuel was coming with a sort of punishment or some kind of warning. So they feared. Alright. God is sovereign. And I want you to see, first of all, that He is sovereign in the choice of the person. When Samuel came to the house of Jesse, he commanded him to gather together his son. Okay. And then the son of Jesse walked past the prophets Samuel one by one. It is in this process that God will make known His choice of a king. Okay, so I want to start from verses 6 to 10. In verses 6 to 10, we see that God is sovereign in those He rejects. Alright, God is sovereign in choosing a person. I want you to understand that God is also sovereign in the person He rejects. And in this case, we see that the 7 older children of Jesse were not God's choice. the first of Jesse's son, named Eliab, appeared before Samuel. We are told that he had a good outward disposition. In fact, the word Eliab means God is Father. A very interesting name. Okay? And Samuel thought that he's surely the chosen one. Alright? Probably his name and then also his outward appearance. God then said to Samuel, I have refused him. Okay? Now the word refuse is the old English word for reject. I have rejected him. Okay. So Eliab may have all the outward disposition. Alright, a fine look, but he was not God's choice. And then this is what God said to Samuel. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man seeth on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, it is interesting, because while I was reading a commentary on this passage of scripture, the commentator pointed out something. He says that verse 7 is tied to verse 6. Now, remember verse 6, Eliab appeared before Samuel. Okay? And we are told that he has a good countenance. And then God specifically told Samuel not to look at the countenance, nor the height of his stature. In other words, he has a good height. Okay? In fact, all the sons of Jesse were quite tall. Alright? And the first son, Eliab, had that height. And then God says, I have refused him, I have rejected him. And then gave this instruction to Samuel. He says, look not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, the commentator says that Eliab had a flaw within him. In other words, his heart was not perfect before God. And so God told Samuel specifically, look not at outward appearance. God does not look at outward, but God sees the heart. This is true. God sees the heart and God knows our heart. Okay? But in this case, God sees the heart of Eliab and God sees that there is something in his character that would disqualify him from being king. Right? Now it's true. We can't see the inward. Many a times our decision is based on what we can see outwardly. Alright? And unfortunately we make wrong decision. Okay? I mean, I've made wrong decision in the choice of a person that I want to work with. Okay, I also have make wrong judgment. In a sense that I think a person could be of use in a particular ministry, but then it did not turn out the way I so desire. The problem is this, I look at the outward, but God looks at the heart. So my question is this, what then is our heart's condition? Okay, no one can see our hearts, but I hope we realize this, that God sees. It is so important that we always keep our hearts right. Not just right before man. We must keep our hearts right before God. And I want to say this, that when we keep our hearts right before God, then it is most likely that we can keep our hearts right before man. And then Jesse called the second son, Abinadab, and then he was made to walk past Samuel, and Samuel says, no, he's not the one. And then the third son, Shammah, came, and then Samuel says, no, he's not the one. Okay. And then verse 10 tells us that Jesse makes seven of his sons to pass before Samuel.
And then Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen this. Now you see, God is sovereign. Alright? Now, in the Mid-Eastern culture, remember, the appointment would always be given to the elders. You remember Jacob wanted to marry Rachel? Okay. And then Rachel's father says no. You have to, the eldest daughter Leah must be married first. And so the result was that Jacob married Leah and then worked another 7 years for Rachel. Okay. Now, in that story, we do see that in the Mid-Eastern culture, you know, there is this practice that the appointment, whether appointment of leadership or even in marriage, right, the elders would have the precedence. Okay? But in this case, God has not chosen the seven of the seven sons of Jesse. And then Samuel asked Jesse, are these all thy children? He says, no, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, in verse 11, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Alright, so from verse 11, we come to know that Jesse had eight sons. Okay? And there, the eighth son is in the field looking after the father's sheep. So, God is sovereign in the person he rejects. Now, I want you to see that God is sovereign in the person he chooses. That is from verses 11 to 13. Now, God chose David to replace Saul. But David was a shepherd. As a shepherd, I mean, most families would have sheep, and most sons of the family will be shepherds. In other words, it will be a job that is considered common amongst the people of Israel. Okay? It is of no significance in the sense. Alright? If you are a soldier or captain in the army, then there is a significant. You are recognized by the society in a sense. But being a shepherd is something that most people are doing, and there is nothing of importance. Okay? But we see God's choice is sovereign. God has decided that David, the shepherd, will be the next king of Israel. If you remember the family of King Saul, I've made mention also this morning that in 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 1, that Saul came from a wealthy family. Okay? And my understanding of verse 1 is that a family of renown to me, alright, means that the family had some power or authority. And most likely, Saul's family was a family of soldiers or military officers. Okay. And so, they were well known, okay, for fighting for the nation. But compared to David, David was of no significance. Now, God's choice is sovereign. Okay. If we look at other men of God, whom God has chosen to be his servant. Now you look at Saul, okay, who later became Paul. Right? Now, no one would have ever thought that Paul would be an apostle, much less an important apostle in that sense. Okay, one who wrote about 13 of the New Testament books. But God chose him. And in the choice of Paul, we see God's sovereign grace. Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor. By all standard, Paul should be judged for killing the Christians and destroying the church of God. Yet God could have took him out from that terrible condition, save him, and make him a mighty vessel. Of course, Paul was talented. And with the talent that he is willing to consecrate to God, God used him in a mighty, mighty ways. But what about Peter? Peter who denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Peter was a simple folk. Acts tells us that he was an unlearned man. You know, the word unlearned does not mean that Peter, John, and the others did not go to school. Okay. Now, if they had not been to school, they would not be able to write any of the books of the Bible. Okay. All Jewish male would have 7 years of basic education in a religious school. In other words, they did finish 7 years of religious education. They are able to read, they are able to write. Okay. The people of the world say they are unlearned because they have not gone for higher learning or that they have gone to a public institution, to learn the affairs of the world. But that is not the matter with God. God is able to use Peter, though a fisherman in his trade, in a very special way, because his choice is sovereign. Though Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Yes, he was weak. He was afraid. But God has his mighty power in changing Peter's life. And when Peter's life was changed, we see in the book of Acts that he became the leader of the early church. And then he preached the first sermon with great power. As a result, we were told several thousand people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So, God in His sovereignty, can change a person, use him in a very mighty way. Now, which one we belong to? Are we like Paul or are we like Peter? Or maybe we are like David? Regardless of which group we belong to, God is able to use us. And God wants to use us so long as we are willing to be used by God. So God is sovereign in the person He rejects. God is also sovereign in the person He chooses. We come to the second outline, that God is sovereign in His choice of the plan. I want you to see that in God's sovereignty, it is not just in choosing someone or rejecting someone. But I want you to see that His sovereignty is also evident in His plan, in the way He controls the affairs of this world. God knows the precise moment to bring out the person to do His work. Now, when we look at the ancestry of King David, we would see the hand of God moving and shaping events. One of David's ancestors was a woman named Rahab, recorded in Joshua chapter 2. Do you remember Rahab? Rahab was the lady who hid two spies from Israel. Right? She was from a Gentile background. But God saved her out of pagan worship and brought her into the nation of Israel. Later on, Rahab married a man called Simon. Matthew chapter 1 verse 5 tells us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and let's trace the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1. I've just mentioned to you that Rahab married Simon. And verse 5 says, and Simon begat Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Okay, now Jesse, we just mentioned, is the father of David. Okay, and so you can see that the line of David came from Boaz. Remember, Boaz married Ruth. So Boaz and Ruth were the great grandparents of David. Okay. And then Matthew chapter 1 verse 20. Before we look at verse 20, let's look at verse 16. Okay, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Verse 17. So all the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now what I want you to see is that ultimately, okay, the ancestral line of the Lord Jesus Christ came from David. Okay. So God has long ago in his plan that he wanted a king of his choice. Now remember, 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you on the people asking for a king. The people ask, we want a king, and we want a king like the other nations. And God says, okay, I will give you a king. And they had King Saul. But King Saul was not God's choice in that sense. Okay, the people wanted it, and God gave them King Saul. But God has a specific plan in mind, and that it will not be King Saul. So we see that God raised up David, through which the line of Jesus Christ would come. Okay. So we see here God's sovereignty in his plan. God is working in our lives. I do not know what is God's plan for you. It is important that each one of us seek God and seek him very specifically. You know, I desire that God will raise up from among you men who will serve him. I'm hoping that someone from amongst this congregation will say, I want to give my life to serve God. We are not seeing this happening, you know, among the BP churches. Not only in Singapore, in Malaysia. Sadly, we are not seeing it in BP churches all over the world. That young men are coming up and are willing to give their life to serve God. I'm talking about serving full time. You know. Now, is that the way God is working in your hearts? I don't know. But I hope God speaks to you. He has his sovereign plan. Our presence in this congregation is not an accident. Remember, there's nothing that happened as an accident.
God is in control. I hope we can come to understand God's plan in our life. And I've just mentioned, I hope that some of you young people will sense the calling of God in your life to serve Him full time. Now what about ladies? Now God is also calling women into the ministry to serve Him. Perchance God is speaking to you. He's taking you here so that you can discover His will. And I hope you do find His will. As you move on, you know, later on, I mean, today the world is a globalized world. I hope that we can go and serve God wherever He sends us. Okay. What I want you to know is this, that God has a sovereign plan for each one of our life. And I have just shown you from the ancestral line of the Lord Jesus Christ, His choice of David as the king. In conclusion, I want you to see three things. First of all, I've just mentioned that there are no accidents in our life. Everything happened for a purpose. And I hope we know what is God's perfect purpose for our life. Secondly, I want you to know that God is able to bring His plan to pass. In other words, no one is able to thwart God's plan. Okay? Remember Jonah tried to run away? But God used a very interesting way of bringing Jonah back. And we know the story through that big fish. Okay, some of you think that it is a whale. But the Bible did not say a whale, neither did the Bible say it's a shark. Okay, it's a big fish. And then Jonah was there in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And that incident became a simile. Something that is used for another incident, and we know what that incident is, that the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, was buried, and then rose again from the dead 3 days after. Right. Lastly, I want you to know that God's sovereign choices extend to every area of our life. Every area. In other words, I've said earlier on that God rejects the seven sons of Jesse. That's one area of life where God shows us that, you know, certain things that we want to do is not in His will. God is also sovereign in the choice of the person. So He extends to every areas of our life. Good, bad, positive, negative. Okay. So I hope we can realize this and accept this fact that God is in control. That in whatever experience we have, we can thank God and say He knows and He is in control. Okay. So when God works in us, I hope we respond appropriately. And when we do that, I'm very sure that God will bless in whatever we do. Remember, not according to what we want, but He will lead us to do His perfect will in our life. God give us the grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your sovereignty, even in the selection of the second king of Israel. We see how You move, You plan, and You have all things set up so that David will be anointed as king of Israel. Lord,
Many a times we decide what we want to do, but it did not turn out the way we want. Now we know that you are sovereign, you are in control. Help us that we will submit to your will and that we will be contented in your leading. And when you lead us, Lord, we know that our way, your way, will be the best, because you have the best, our interests, in your heart. So help your people here. Lord, as I just mentioned, the need for this church and the need for the BP churches all over the world. May you raise up young men, young women, who will sense your calling and who are willing to give their life to serve you full time. May you work, Lord, if you so please, raise up from amongst this congregation someone who will serve you. Lord, I pray this, asking it in Jesus' name. Amen.